It is one thing to help Russian revolutionists to overthrow the Tsar and to put in his place a democratic form of government, which has proven such a boon to our own Tsars of commerce and industry. But it is quite a different thing to see the Prometheus of labor rise in his might, strike off his chains, and with the full consciousness of his complete economic power bring to life the dreams and aspirations of a thousand years, the economic, political, and spiritual emancipation of the masses of the world. This pioneer social experiment, now being tried in Russia, the greatest and most fundamental ever witnessed in all history, is the guiding star to all the oppressed and disinherited of the world. Already its magic light is spreading over the whole European horizon, the harbinger of the approaching dawn of man. What if it should traverse the ocean and embrace our own shores within its orbit? The whole social order of the financial czars, industrial kaisers, and land barons of America is at stake. The order maintained by club and gun, by jail and lynch law in and out of court. The order founded on robbery and violence, built upon sham and unreason, artificiality and insanity, and supported by misery and starvation, by the water cure, the dungeon, and straitjacket. An order that transcends all chaos and daily makes confusion worse confounded. Such social order is doomed. It bears within itself the virus of disintegration. Already the conscience of America is awakening. The war marked the crisis. Already American men have chosen imprisonment, torture, and death rather than become participants in an unholy war. Already American men and women are beginning to realize the antisocial destructive character and purpose of authority and government by violence, force, and fraud. Already the workers of America are outgrowing the vicious circle of craft unionism, learning the lesson in the power of solidarity of the international proletariat, and gaining confidence in their own initiative and judgment, to the confusion and terror of their antiquated, spineless leadership. Already they are seeing through the sham of equality before the law, and are in open rebellion to government by injunction. A spark from the glowing flame of Soviet Russia, and the purse-proud autocracy of America may be swept away by the social conflagration. Wherefore the united chorus of old Tsars and Kaisers? Death to the Bolsheviki, the aliens, the IWWs, the communists, the anarchists. Whatever might be said of the American plutocracy and the government, no one can accuse them of originality. The methods used by them to confuse and confound the people are but cheap imitations of the old tactics long resorted to by the despotic rulers of Europe. Even before the World War, Washington had borrowed many a trick from London. And all through the war, American militarism, with its conscription, espionage, torture of conscientious objectors, and suppressive legislation, was but aping, stupidly and destructively, the modus operandi of the bankrupt imperialism of the old world. For lack of originality and ideas, American officialdom was content to be the echo of the military and court circles of London and Paris. And now again, we witness Washington following in the exact footsteps of the worst autocracy of modern times. For the hue and cry against the alien is a faithful replica of the persecution of the Jews by the Tsars of Russia, and the American pogroms against radicals are the exaggerated picture of Russian Jew-baiting. And finally, the most infamous and most inhuman method of Tsarist Russia, the method that sacrificed hundreds of thousands of the finest and bravest men and women of Russia, and systematically robbed the country of the very flower of its youth, is now being transplanted on American soil, in these great United States, the freest democracy on earth. The dreaded Russian administrative process, the newest American institutions. Sudden seizure, anonymous denunciation, star chamber proceedings, the third degree, secret deportation, and banishment to unknown lands. O shades of Jefferson, Thomas Paine, and Patrick Henry, that you must witness the bloodiest weapon of Tsarism rescued from the ruins of defunct absolutism, and introduced into the country for whose freedom you had fought so heroically. What means the administrative process? It means the suppression and elimination of the political Protestant and social rebel. It is the practice of picking men upon the street, on the merest suspicion of political untrustworthiness, of arresting them in their club rooms or homes, tearing them away from their families, locking them up in jails or detention pens, holding them incommunicado for weeks and months, depriving them of a hearing in open court, denying them trial by jury, and finally deporting them or banishing them to unknown shores. All this not for any crime committed or even any punishable act charged, but merely on the denunciation of an enemy or the irresponsible accusation by a Secret Service man that the suspect holds certain unpopular or forbidden opinions. Lest the truth or accuracy of this statement be called in question, let it be stated that at this very moment there are 100 such political suspects held at Ellis Island, with several hundred more in the various immigration detention jails, every one of them a victim of the administrative process described above. Not one of them is charged with any specific crime. One and all are accused of entertaining illegal views on political or social questions. Nearly all of them have been seized on the street or arrested in their homes or reading rooms while engaged in the dangerous pursuit of studying the English language, mathematics, or American history. The latter seems lately to be regarded by the authorities as a particularly dangerous occupation, and those guilty of it a prima facie menace to our American institutions. Others were arrested in the factory, at their workbench, or in the numerous recent raids of homes and peaceful meetings. Many of them were beaten and clubbed most brutally, the wounds of some necessitating hospital treatment. In the police stations, they were subjected to the third degree, threatened, tortured, and finally thrust into the bullpens of Ellis Island. Here they are treated as dangerous felons, kept all the time under lock and key, and allowed to see their wives and families only once a week, with a screen between them and malicious guards constantly at their side. Here their mail is subjected to the most stringent censorship, and their letters delivered or not, according to the whims of the petty officials in charge. Here some of them, because they dared protest against their isolation and the putrid food, were placed in the insane asylum. Here it was that the brutal treatment and unbearable conditions of existence drove men and women, the politicals awaiting deportation, to the desperate extremity of a hunger strike, the last resort of defenseless beings, the paradoxical self-defense of despair. For weeks and months, these men have now been kept prisoners at Ellis Island, tortured by the thought of their wives and children whom the government has ruthlessly deprived of support, and living in constant uncertainty of the fate that is awaiting them. For the good American government, refinedly cruel, is keeping their destination secret, and certain death may be the goal of the deportees when the hour of departure finally strikes. Such is the treatment and the fate of the first group of Russian refugees from American democracy. Such is the process known as the administrative methods, penalizing governmentally unapproved thought, suppressing disbelief in the omniscience of the powers that be, in enlightened, free America, not in darkest Russia. When the terrible significance of the administrative process practiced in Russia became known in Europe, civilization stood aghast. It caused a storm of protest in the British Parliament, and called forth violent interpellations in the Italian Diet and the French Chamber. Even the German Reichstag, in the days of the omnipotent Kaiser, ventured a heated debate of the barbaric administrative process, which doomed thousands of innocents to underground dungeons and the frozen taigas of Siberia. Are the Tsar's methods, the third section, the secret political spy organizations, anonymous denunciations, star chamber proceedings, deprivation of trial, wholesale deportations, and banishment to become an established American institution? Let the people speak. The full significance of the principle of deportation is becoming daily more apparent. The field of its menace is progressively broadening. Not only the alien social rebel is to be crushed by the new white terror, its hand is already reaching out far for the naturalized American, whose social views are frowned upon by the government. And yet deeper it strikes. 100% Americanism is to root out the last vestige, the last memory of traditional American freedom. Not alone foreigners, but the naturalized citizen and the native-born are to be mentally fumigated, made politically reliable, and governmentally kosher, by eliminating the social critics and industrial Protestants, by denaturalization and banishment, by exile to the island of Guam or the Alaska, the future Siberia of the United States. Following the alien radical The naturalized American is the first victim of the Tsarification of America. Patriotic profiteers and political hooligans are united in the cry for the Americanization of the foreigner in the United States. He is to be naturalized, intellectually sterilized and immunized to Bolshevism, so that he may properly appreciate the glorious spirit of American democracy. Simultaneously, however, the federal government is introducing the new policy of summarily depriving the naturalized American of his citizenship, in order to bring him, when so desired, within the scope of the administrative process which subjects the victim to deportation without trial.